Welcome to No Longer Conformed, my online preaching and teaching ministry. We're studying the book of James, True Faith. In this session, we'll be looking at James chapter 4, verse 13, to chapter 5, verse 6. Faith produces dependence on God. Knowing that we can do nothing without our Heavenly Father's hand does not take away the joy of serving Him. We need to trust the Lord in all aspects of our life. James addresses three areas where we can trust God and depend on Him. First, we can trust the Lord for guidance. James chapter 4, verse 13, down to verse 17. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit. Whereas, you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. There are two faults that are common to mankind. First is we often make big plans forgetting how fragile and short life is. And then second, we brag about tomorrow, not knowing if we even have a tomorrow. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 gives us the right perspective. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Now, you just break that verse down to its parts. Wait. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Truth. Lean not on your own understanding. And then glory. In all your ways acknowledge Him. And there's a promise. He shall direct your paths. God can give you guidance in many ways. But He will never contradict Himself. All counsel must be tested against the truth of Scripture. Note there are two elements of trusting God. Waiting patiently for Him to work and acting obediently on His counsel. Verse 17 is so important at this point. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. James is talking about the sin of omission versus sins of commission. Yeah, we're not to sin, we're not to do these things, but it's also sin if we know the right things that we should be doing and we don't do them. So trust the Lord for guidance. Second, we can trust the Lord for provision. Look at James chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver are corroded and their corrosion will be a witness against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You have heaped up treasure in the last days. Indeed, the wages of the laborer who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, cry out. And the cries of the reapers have reached the ears of the Lord of Sabbath. You have lived on the earth in pleasure and luxury. You have fattened your hearts in the day of slaughter. You have condemned, you have murdered the just. He does not resist you. James tells us here that we can't trust the world to meet our needs. A sad reality is that some employers will keep from compensating you if he can. Isn't it wonderful that we have a God who meets needs? Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. But Matthew 6:33 is so important. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Listen, remember the Israelites in the wilderness and God's provision of manna. Exodus chapter 16, verses 4 and 5, and then down a little bit further. Then the Lord said to Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day, that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not. And it shall be on the sixth day that they shall prepare what they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. And if you get down to verse 22, and so it was on the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, 2 homers for each one, and all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. And then he said to them, This is what the Lord has said. Tomorrow is a Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake today, and boil what you will boil, and lay up for yourselves all that remains to be kept until morning. So they laid it up till morning, as Moses commanded, and it did not stink, nor were there any worms in it. Then Moses said, Eat that today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord, that you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will be none. Now it happened that some of the people went out on the Sabbath to gather, but they found none. And the Lord said to Moses, How long do you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? See, for the Lord has given you the Sabbath, but therefore he gives you on the sixth day bread for 2 days. Let every man remain in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. And the house of Israel called its name manna. And it was like white coriander seed. And the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. Again, it was all about patience, trust, and obedience. Trust the Lord for provision. Pay attention to His commands. And be obedient. And third, we can trust the Lord for protection. Verse 6 of chapter 5. You have condemned, you have murdered the just. He does not resist you. This is an interesting verse. He does not resist you. Does this sound familiar? Turn over with me to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter and chapter 2. In chapter 2, down around verse 18. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. For this is commendable, if because of conscience towards God, one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. For what credit is it if, when you're beaten for your fault, you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow His steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in His mouth, who, when He was reviled, did not revile in return. When He suffered, He did not threaten, but committed Himself to Him who judges righteously, who Himself bore our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 13 down to verse 17. And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you the reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. And 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 down to verse 19. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, He is blasphemed, but on your part, He's glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or a busybody in other people's matters. Yet, if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. And then in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 down to verse 10, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Suffering for doing right, not wrong. Jesus is our example. Don't retaliate. Be patient. Have a clear conscience. And let God free you. He will be glorified. Again, it's all about patience, trust, and obedience. Who are you trusting? Yourself or God? Are you a dependent child of God? Have a great day.